verses 16 through 20. Let's give attention to the word of the Lord here and ask God to apply this to our lives and hearts. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he, that is Jesus, saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now, typically, this time on a Sunday morning, I ask a question or share some story or in some way move into the message, and that's not happening today. So let me tell you just a little background of this. This past year, we had a preaching and teaching cohort. We had several men together learning how to communicate God's word in a way that's faithful to the scriptures and that connects with the audience. It was a great experience of talking about preaching and teaching, learning about preaching and teaching, and actually doing some preaching and teaching to one another. It's kind of a laboratory, and then you'd get everybody got evaluated, and it was a great experience. A lot of things I could tell you about that experience, but one part of it is there was one individual who was very apparent this was not his first rodeo. And so today, he's not a cowboy, but he is coming up to bring the message today, and that is our brother, Gerson Mossiel. He's part of Trinity. You may recognize the name. Yes, he is Caleb Mossiel's father, Anna Mossiel's father-in-law, but Gerson and his wife, Denise, have been here for a couple of years, and it's a joy for me to welcome him to share the message of the word today from the Gospel of Mark. Gerson, would you please come? Let's give him a hand. He's our brother. I would like to say a prayer for our brother Gerson as he does bring the message from the word, but let me remind you, it's my belief that at least half of a good message is the listener. So I want to pray for our hearts too, that we would have openness to the Lord, what he's going to say through the word as our brother Gerson brings the message. Lord, thank you for Gerson. Thank you, Lord, just for his heart for you, his willingness to serve, his partnership here at Trinity with his wife Denise, God. And we just pray that you would fill him, anoint him, Lord, to let him speak in a way that's faithful to your word and that is helping to make the message of your word clear, Lord. We pray for all of us as well. Give us, Lord, hearts that are open to hear what you are saying, submissive to your spirit, ready to act in trusting Jesus and following Jesus and being used by Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that Jesus might be lifted up as your word is spoken today and as we take it, apply it, live it, and walk in a way that honors him. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Set up my workstation. Well, good morning, everyone. I feel greatly honored to share the infallible word of God with you this morning. I know some of you may be very surprised to see me here, but we're going to be all right. Okay, we're going to be all right. Just hanging in there. Let me start by saying this. Since I got saved and I went to ministry, I have preached hundreds of sermons, hundreds. But in Portuguese, in Portuguese, and it's not the same. It's not the same when you preach another language. You feel the struggle. A friend of mine, an American missionary in Brazil for many years, his name is Dale Downs. Vocês conhecem ele? Dale Downs. He moved back to America, and I happened to be one of his assisting pastors at this church in Brockton. And I was, like I hear Pastor Bruce here, every Sunday morning I was listening to Pastor Dale every Sunday. One time I pulled him aside and say, "Hey, Pastor Dale, let me tell you something. You are an excellent preacher." He goes, "How come?" "I used to be your teacher at Bible school in Brazil. You used to hear me preach many times." And I say, "Yeah, but what? That was in Portuguese." It's different. I see him as a good preacher in Brazil, but here, an excellent preacher. It's more natural. So, anyways, the Lord's going to help us. Taking Pastor Bruce's suggestion, I'm going to title this message, "He Calls Men." Jesus calls men. He calls men to make them become fishers of men. Let me give you my my personal testimony of following Jesus. I was saved in 1997. That's when I heard the gospel, and I believed Jesus died on the cross. And by believing, I received eternal life. I was 15 years old. 15. It didn't take long for me to realize the Lord was calling me into ministry. So I went to Bible school. In 1985, a home church in São Paulo, Brazil, was planting another church. And they were sending a couple that they were deacons in the church to go and plant a church right by this huge, I don't know if you've ever heard, favela. Have you? Slum. Have you heard of Islam? Think of a place of an extreme poverty. People with no education. Houses built on hills and on top of each other. No rules, no infrastructure. Not to mention drugs, violence, domestic abuse, child abuse, and more. Well, where's Denise? Denise and I were invited by this couple that were deacons in the church to go with them and help them to plant a church in that tough and hostile environment, favela. That's where Denise and I went. We went because in our heart, the Lord was calling us for that task. We gave up a comfort zone. I was just 21, Denise was 20. Sorry to tell your age. Tell your age, but not mine. We stayed in that church that was being planted for, we stayed there for about 3 years. And then we were sent to the south of Brazil to be the new pastors of this already established church all the way in the south of Brazil. I could spend hours telling you what the Lord did through our lives in that place, right by that slum. We saw many people living great spiritual darkness getting saved, many getting healed, many people being delivered from evil spirits. Many, many, many. I don't know. We saw, Denise is my witness, we saw people slide like snakes with evil spirits, and we saw them being delivered, and they serve in the Lord today. They were delivered and saved by the power of the Lord. Let me tell you something. If I had to go back, if I could go back in time and do it all over again, I would. It was worth it. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. When we answer the call to follow him, he will give us the means, the tools for us to become fishers of men. Whatever we do, whatever we are, know this. When we answer the call to follow him, he will make us to do things of great spiritual value. Do you believe that? He will make us part of something bigger than what we do and than what we are. And it is worth it. Think of it. We are catching fish, but he calls us and makes us to catch men. A man, a human being, has way more value than a fish. Why? Because man was made in the image of God. Remember when God created everything, all creatures, and they say, oh, let us make man in our image. We are made in the image of God. The life of a man, the life of a human being has more value than the entire world. Jesus began his ministry around, we know that he began his ministry around the Sea of Galilee. And this was a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that was written at about 700 years before Christ, 700 BC. And Matthew mentions that prophecy in Matthew 4, 12 through 17. We have that there. Very good. 12 through 17. But it's okay. It says, now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Now here is the prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Why was it called? Have you ever thought? Why was it called Galilee of the Gentiles? What happened was that in the early 700 BC, when the Assyrians, Assyrian Empire, invaded the northern kingdom of Israel, they took the 10 tribes of Israel and settled them in other nations. But they intentionally left some Israelites in the nation. And the Assyrians also brought captives from other nations to Israel, at least five different nations. And the Assyrians basically replaced Israel with those nations. That's why it was called Galilee of the Gentile. What is a Gentile? If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Okay? In Christ, there is no Jew, no Gentile. We are one man, one new man in Christ. Man. Now, Galilee had this big mixture of people with different language, different cultures, and they brought their gods. The political and religious shape of Galilee was completely changed. Not for good, for bad. So Galilee became a region of intense demonic activities. Remember when Jesus cast out a demon and sent them to the pigs, like 2,000 pigs? There was a legion of demons that was in Galilee. So intense demonic activities, spiritual cult prostitutes. You had these pagan temples with their pagan priests burning and offering little kids to their gods. Think of a great, deep spiritual darkness. Can you think of it? I'm going to use a figure of speech. So dark, you can catch it. That's how spiritually dark was Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles. Keep on reading. The people dwelling in darkness. Can you think of that darkness that I mentioned? People dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Shine, Jesus, shine. This is wonderful. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, the light of Jesus. And for those who dwell in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to bring light in the darkness. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So Jesus started his ministry in the Galilee of the Gentiles, where people from many nations were living. And Jesus set free and saved many people from the Galilee of the Gentiles, which I also call Galilee of the nations. One day, people from all tribes, peoples, nations, tongues, language, they will come together in heaven. And they worship him, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Digno é o Cordeiro que foi morto. Digno é o Cordeiro que foi imolado. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." You're going to be there. We're going to be there. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Woo! God is good. And all the time? Ah, you have that. Nice. And one day all knees will bow down and all tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, amen. Let's get into our text now. Why, Pastor Bruce? He's getting nervous. So in his first two preachings in the series of the Gospel of Mark, Pastor Bruce emphasized the fact that Jesus started his ministry with a radical message, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was near, was close, was at hand. The kingdom of God was at hand. And it was so close, it was at hand that you could catch it. Kingdom of God is at hand. And because of that, Jesus was calling people for repentance and faith in response. Now, in our text this morning, Mark 1, 16 through 20, Jesus issues a radical call, which is, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." If we read this passage, okay, Mark 1, 16 to 20, and if we start gazing at it, say, wow, we start envisioning the Sea of Galilee by the north shore of Israel, and Jesus calls these four men into ministry, and we marvel, we say, whoa, this is wonderful. But if there is no application for us here this morning, like Pastor Bruce said, let's see how this applies to us. I heard that. If there is no application, what can we profit? We're just going to be marveling. Oh, look, the sea. Oh, Pastor Bruce showed the picture. Wonderful. If you just marvel at that. No, it has to apply to us. It has to apply. "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." The call of Jesus for those four men to leave their jobs and to go for full-time ministry. Pay attention. Amen. Pay attention. It's not a standard for all believers. What do I mean by that? It's probably not a standard for most of us here today, this morning. I'm not talking about the call itself to follow him, no. But to literally leave everything, your job, your family, your friend, a good life, and go into full-time ministry. This is not for the majority of believers. However, we are all called to follow him with our hearts, with our minds, so we can be whatever he wants us to be for his kingdom and for his glory. He calls us to follow him, and we should immediately fall. See, Mark is a past-faced gospel. Immediately, boom, 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 boom. He calls you. Hey, what are you waiting for? Just follow him. We should immediately follow him. From our part, we obey and follow him. And he is the one who will make us become what we are meant to be for his kingdom and for his glory. So, the call to follow him and win souls is for everybody here. But as for leaving your job, your career, and being ministry for full time, it's not. You understand? You understand that, right? Amen. Follow him, and he will make you become whatever he has planned for you. He will make you. You just follow him. How many of you here this morning ever heard about Dwight Lyman Moody? Some? Good. Some. Okay. A man of very little education. Guess where he was from? He was from Northfield, Massachusetts, actually. An American evangelist from the 19th century. Listen to this. Some sources claim that Moody's ministry was responsible for hundreds of thousands, or even up, I don't know, maybe exaggerate a little bit, but even up to 1 million people coming to Christ. Can you imagine? Man with little education but had a heart for the Lord to follow him. He followed him, and he became what the Lord had for his life. Guess what? So you see Moody leading hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. But guess what? A Sunday school teacher with a regular job went to a shoe store in Boston. He literally led Moody to Christ. He put his hand on his shoulder and he spoke about the love of Christ. And Moody accepted the Lord as his Lord and Savior and follow Christ. So that man caught a very good quality fish, if you can say that, right? All right. Sometimes all you need all your life as a Christian in the planet Earth is to get a big one. Right? Get a big one. Somebody comes, hey, Moody led 1 million people to Christ. Yeah, I led him to Christ. You can brag about it. The point I'm trying to make is this. You may just be a brother or sister in this congregation with a regular job, but if you answer the call to follow Jesus from all your heart, from all your mind, he will make you become what he meant for you to be in his kingdom and for his glory. Just answer the call and follow him immediately. Immediatamente. Pastor Bruce said he was having a hard time to pronounce that word. Imagine me. I'd rather say in Portuguese or in Spanish, imediatamente, não espera, quick, follow Jesus. Can I have some water? Please. Oh, my. Yes, thank you. Thank you. The call of Jesus to make them become fishers of men. You know what that shows? It shows Jesus' heart for human race. Jesus loves people. He wants to love people through you. He wants us to be a channel of his grace, of his power, of his love, to be a channel. The Bible says that God, pay attention, if you just get this, I'll be happy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever, imagine if this room here, this building, is the entire world. Picture the entire world in this room. Can you picture it? Picture all nations, all people. And it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So whoever believes him should not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah. When Jesus commanded Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Peter, James, and John to follow him, it was not something random. We need to pay attention to this. It was not something random. He was just going, hey, you follow me. No. He knew exactly. Have you thought of it? He knew exactly he was looking for. This is very important to point out. The call to follow him is for those who have already believed. You believe and say, now follow me. Those men had already believed Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They didn't just start following some random man. And Jesus didn't just call some random guys to leave their jobs and follow him for a full-time ministry. It may not be explicit in the Gospel of Mark, but the Gospel of John and Luke, they fill the gap, showing they had already believed in Jesus. In the Gospel of John, in John 1:29, when John the baptizer was baptizing people, and this happened, it happened before. That was before. Before he called John, Peter, James, what do I want? Andrew, to follow them. It was before that. Okay? And John says, the baptizer, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In this verse, pay attention. John identifies Jesus as the sacrificial lamb who will bear and remove the sins of the world. Of course, for those who believed in him. Jesus was identified as the Messiah there. Okay? And so Peter, Andrew, John, James, they had already believed in Jesus. Maybe some of you here today have already believed that Jesus is the Christ. You have already put your trust in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You have already believed in his death, burial, and resurrection. You already believed he paid the price for your sins. And because of that, listen to me, because of that, you know what? You are saved. You are saved. Why are you saved? I mean, why? Stop the flip-flop. One day I'm saved, the other day I'm not. Oh, I failed. I'm not saved. Now I'm praying. I'm saved. No, stop this flip-flop. Stop it. You believe Jesus is the Messiah. You believe he died. You look at him. Remember what Jesus said? As Moses lifted the serpent in the desert, those who look at the serpent, they were beaten by the serpent. If they look at the serpent, what happened to them? They were healed. In the same way, the Son of Man will be lifted up. If you look at him, if you believe, you are what? Saved. So he was saved. Because he said so. And he cannot lie. He was saved. He cannot lie. So you are saved. That's been taken care of. No one can snatch you out of his hand. It's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. I'm going to read for you. John 10:28-29. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is wonderful. However, maybe you have not yet answered the call to follow him so you can become what he wants you to be. He wants you to be useful in his kingdom. But there is a condition for you to be useful. Follow him. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. You become fisher of men, but what is the condition? Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. If you follow Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind, you will become a winner of souls, a soul winner. You want to be a soul winner? Amen. So the call to follow Jesus, I said already, right? It must be answered when? Say that, I'm going to learn from you. Immediately. Agora, a hora, já. Imediatamente. We must immediately answer the call to follow Jesus. Now, pay attention. It does not mean you're going to be immediately ready. Oh, you answer the call and you follow, but you're not immediately ready. Now what? All we need is that readiness. that desire in our hearts to immediately answer the call. That's all you need for now. There'll be more. However, okay, you answer the call immediately. You're not ready, right? But I got something for you. I got a gift for you. Philippians 1:6. Look at this. And I am sure of this. Woo! That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. May not be ready, and we're not. But he is working in us. He's working in us. He who began a good work in you, na, 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 he'll be faithful to complete it. You know that one? He'll complete it. He'll complete it. Look at Peter, for example. Peter, he was called. He immediately answered. Was he ready? I don't know about that. Before he became what the Lord had purpose for his life. Look, through the Gospels, we see him. We see Peter walking on water and then drowning. Right? We see him confessing that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And moments after, he is used by Satan. Do you know that? He confessed, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. Oh, Jesus said, wow, Peter, you got that from heaven. You got this revelation. You're right. He is the living one, the Son of God. Moments after, Jesus goes, hey, I got to tell you something, guys. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer in the hands of sinners, and I'm going to die. And Peter, no, that's not going to happen. But that wasn't Peter. He was being used by Satan. What? Yes. What people said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know the things of above. Get behind me. You see? We also see Peter, moments before Jesus went to the cross, he said, no, Lord, if everybody deserts you, not me, I'll follow you. You know what? I even die for you. Next thing you know, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. So in the process, Peter's life looked like a spiritual, help me now, holocaust. Spiritual holocaust, zoom, walking water, then drowning. Like, right, ups and downs. You see, he immediately answered the call to follow Jesus, but he was not immediately ready to fulfill the purpose for his call. But you know, Jesus never gave up on him. Never give up on him. Because Peter believed, and when called, he immediately followed Jesus. That's all you need. And he's going to work in your life. Let me tell you something. You see, Peter was a failure before he became the man of God he became. Maybe that was most of us, or some of us, identify ourselves with Peter. We already gave your life to Jesus to be your Savior. You saved already. Don't lose that. You saved, okay? But you see, I'm a failure. You say, my life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes I do things that I say that I shouldn't say, things that I do that I shouldn't do. My life is a failure. That was a time in my life. I've been serving the Lord for probably 47 years. And there was a time in my life that I said, Lord, it's not what I dream of. I feel like a failure. And you may be saying the same, maybe. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You are a failure. The Lord said, you are a failure. But I'm working in you. But I'm even working in you to become the man I planned for you. So some years went by, and we see the good work that the Lord was doing in Peter's life. Later, now Peter is a mature man, a grown-up man in the Lord. This is Peter. You won't believe. This is Peter. You know, one of his letters, he wrote, 1 Peter 5:7, that you owe, casting all your anxieties. burden, worries on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. See, Peter, that very unstable man. Now, you see Peter, mature, grown up man in the Lord, telling you, hey, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. But is that you, Peter? Yeah, it's me. The Lord working me. He's still working. Okay. He's still working. Hallelujah. Let's talk about a little bit the cost of following Jesus. The cost. There is a cost. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. The cost of following Jesus. Jesus called two pairs of brothers. Peter, John, and James. Okay? Let's say there was five men then. And let's say I was the fifth man when Jesus was calling the fishermen. And if I had to quit fishing to follow Jesus, let me tell you something. That would be the easiest thing in my life. Why? Oh, it's so spiritual. What? You're so spiritual. Jesus, go? No. I just don't like fishing. I don't know who my two boys went after. Not after me, because Israel and Caleb, they love. They even have this little boat. They go fishing. And they fish and they send pictures. And they put the camera in an angle that make the fish be bigger than them. And I say, oh, there go. Those are my boys. So some people do some kind of job that just because they have no option, that would be me. So if I was one of those men, I would probably be very happy, but not because I really understand the entire spectrum of the call. Not because I understood, but just because I wouldn't be fishing anymore. And Jesus would probably tell me, because he would see me so excited, right? Whoa, you look so happy, so excited. But I want you to know this, you're going to have to give up everything. Okay, I don't know in Portuguese, Spanish, todo, tudo, todo means todo. Everything means everything. Look, everything in your life means everything. And Jesus continues. And at some point, you may even going to have to die for the cause of following me. What does it mean? We're going to wrap up in a few. What does it mean to give up everything and follow Jesus? What is the nature of this call? How much does this call cost? How much? This is very important for us to pay attention now, because I'm going to tell you how much it costs. I already told you, but I'm going to explain. I already said it's everything, but let's think of this everything. The call to follow Jesus will demand, say with me, the call to follow Jesus will demand everything of you. Everything. Why? Because this call has more value than anything you can ever imagine in this world. We see in the Gospel of Mark, we see that Peter, Andrew, John, and James, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything. I'm going to read two texts that's going to give us a clue of what it means to give up everything and follow Jesus. First one, it's going to Matthew 10:37. It's there. Let's pay attention to these texts. Can I have some water first? Then I have some water. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. See the comparison? It doesn't say you don't love your mother. Oh, mother, who else? And father. It doesn't say, if you love more than me, he wants exclusivity. Right? Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, you're going to be shocked now. Next. Luke 14:26. You'll be shocked now. If anyone comes to me and does not, what does it say? Hate? No, it must not be right. No. Wait a minute. Is it the original translation, Pastor? Is it? From the Greek? Sorry, I didn't bring some Greek today, but I left that with Pastor Bruce. If anyone comes to me, oh, you immediately answer the call. Oh, you there. Hey, wait a minute. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, this is a figure of speech. Imagine you living here today, all right, and you go, let's say your husband go, hey, honey, this morning I heard this message. I was really, really touched. I got two news for you. One good, one bad. One bad, you want the good one first. She said, no, give me the good one first. Two news for you. All right, the good one, I heard this message, and I was so touched. You know, I know I'm saved, but now, you know, I've been a failure. Now I'm going to follow Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind. And my wife goes like, oh, it was about time. No, she's so happy. I say, hey, but I have the bad one is that, you know, from now on, I hate you. I'm going to hate you. Make sure you tell the kids. Make sure you tell the cousins. And you know what? If you don't want to tell, I'm going to tell your mother, my mother-in-law, that I hate her. For some people, that's an easy one. You know, don't get me wrong. I love my mother-in-law. She passed away to be with Jesus. I love her. But imagine you go around, so you're going to hate everybody. Of course, that's not. It's a figure of speech, okay? Let me tell you. Let's tell what it means. This call is not for you necessarily to desert, to despise all of your attachments in life. Not necessarily. All the things that you love, you're not going to desert and despise them. Your wife, grandmother, your job, your family. No, not necessarily. But this call is always, pay attention, it's always a call to devalue in your heart everything that you keep dearly, everything that you treasure, things that you hold in high regard. You devalue them in your heart because of something that has infinitely more value. The call to follow Jesus. All those things and people that you consider of great value, think of them. Now, when you compare, you see, Jesus said, if you love more than, now when you compare those things to Jesus, they look like nothing. When we put everything you consider important in life, think of a scale. Think of everything you consider important, great value. Put on one side of the scale, and on the other side, you put Jesus. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Jesus is going to overpower. He's going to outweigh everything. When you put Jesus, because he's worthy. He's worthy more than anything in our lives. That the kind of love that, that God expects for us. That the kind of heart when we follow Jesus. That he is the one and only, all in all. High and lift, remember? High and lift it up, Jesus, Son of God. I crown you now with many crowns. Worthy is the Lamb. Something like that. Remember those 24 elders before the throne in heaven? John saw these 24 elders. They have like crowns. And the Bible said that they cast the crowns before Jesus and say, you are worthy, and throw their crowns before Jesus because he is worthy. He's worthy. Brothers and sisters, to follow Jesus means that in your life, he has no rivals. No rivals. It means he has more value than anything you can ever imagine. Imagine. Nothing can compare to Jesus. We sing here. We gotta mean those things. Right? We sing every Sunday. Every day we sing. We gotta mean. Nothing can compare. He is everything. He is all in all. Psalm 73, 25 says, whom I have in heaven but you? Have you think of heaven? What do you have in heaven? When you think of heaven, you think of angels, beautiful music, maybe some people, flowers, whatever you can think, in another dimension. Not like here on earth. So in heaven, it's kind of easy if you think to say, who do I have in heaven? God. I have God. I have Jesus. But there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. The problem is not in heaven. It's already, okay, I have God in heaven. But on earth, there is nothing that I desire. Nothing that I desire but you. When I hear Christians say that they love more, they love this person or this thing more than anything in the world. Oh, I love this person more than anything in the world. I have a problem with that. There is nothing on earth that I desire but you. He is above all. He is all in all. Some Christians put God, Jesus, in a priority list. They look very religious, very like religious. Oh, first God, then family, then church, or then job. They make a priority list. Please, let us take him out of that priority list. Let us take him away. Why? Because he has no rivals. He's the only, the one and only. He is the first in our priority list. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everything. So he should be in the center of our lives. Let's see about that. He should be in the center of our lives. And everything should surround him. Everything, your family, church, job, everything. But he's there in the center. You understand? In the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:17, when John saw Jesus, Jesus said to him, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We're going to wrap up. Now, you gave your life to Jesus. You decided to follow him, but you have a lot of questions. I don't know. We have many different experiences here. One have followed Jesus for 2 years, another for 3 years, or so on. Another gave his life to Jesus last week. But you have a lot of questions because he calls you to follow him to make you become fishers of men. And you have a lot of what if this happened, but what if he demands, what if he sends me to be a missionary in that remote land there, what if? Let me tell you something, you've got nothing to lose with Jesus, nothing, you will only win, because who is calling you? It's not Pastor, it's not me, it's not some celebrity, no, who's calling you to follow, who is calling you to follow? It is nothing but the King of the universe. You are in good hands. He got this. He has your back. Woo! Can you say woo? Look at, see what Paul, see Apostle Paul. Paul, Apostle, I like saying Paul, Apostle. Look what he did in Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Wow, that's beautiful, huh? That is profound, if you think of it. You know who Paul was? He considered everything lost, everything. Because everything like rubbish, so he can gain Christ. So he calls us to follow him today. So the fullness of his purpose for our lives can be fulfilled. It means to give up everything in our heart and make him our all in all. Follow me, Pastor Bruce, come. Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. God bless you.
Hey, I'm gonna make an audible here. Matt, we're going to just wrap up, okay? That great worship song the team had, it's going to be next week. I'm going to invite you all to stand. We're just going to say a prayer. And let's remember these words Jesus spoke. It's true for each of us as we know him, believe in him, and follow him. He's going to do in us and through us his good purposes. Thank you, Brother Jerson, for making that so clear. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this chance to worship you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you know and hold forever each one who has come to you in faith, and they are yours and secure in you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that each of us who do know you would follow you day by day, surrender to you, allow you to work in us and transform us for the purposes you have for us, Lord. I pray that that would confidence and joy and peace in you would rest upon each and every one. We thank you, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share with you this conclusion, and I hope you remember it. Follow him, and he will make you become fishers of men. Amen. God bless.